Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Warning. Check the Locks podcast is a true crime podcast and may contain graphic descriptions of violence, murder, sexual assault, and more. Check the Locks podcast is not appropriate for all listeners. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Welcome back to Check the Locks Presents True Crime for the Short on Time. As always, I'm John Connor.
I'm Olivia Cornu.
Saying thank you for joining us this week as we dive into yet another truly terrifying bite-sized true crime case. Before we get started, as always, Olivia, my friend, my pal, my co-host, how you doing? How you hanging in there? How's your week been?
I'm doing pretty good. My week is coming to an end. It is only Wednesday today, but it's technically, I guess, my Friday-ish. Have the next 3 days off, so that's going to be lovely.
Ooh, a little long midweek weekend.
Yeah. How about you?
My week is going good. I'm just, working, and we're actually going to see John Mayer this weekend. Kara got tickets for my birthday, so I'm excited for that. So it'll be a good time, and, just making it through, taking Millie to school and trying to get up on time. And I overslept today by 30 minutes, so shout out to my wife for waking me up because I did not get up when my alarm went off. So,
pop quiz. What's your favorite John Mayer song?
My favorite John Mayer song.
Should be Olivia.
Okay. Something like Olivia.
Thank you.
I also like Slow Dancing in a Burning Room.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. Even Heartbreak Warfare is a good song.
I like John Mayer.
Yeah. He had a period where it kind of dipped off for me personally around the whole I'm getting with Taylor Swift and stuff like that, but then I feel like he redeemed himself. Honestly, my favorite John Mayer stuff is the John Mayer Trio, which I don't know if you've ever heard any of that, but it was just a three-piece he did where they do a bunch of old blue songs and stuff. They do Axis Bold as Love by Jimi Hendrix. Very, very good. So that's probably my favorite thing to listen to, but I remember his first record came out when I was in high school, so I've been listening to him for 20 years, which is kind of crazy to think about. Same with you and Coldplay, you got 20 years of Coldplay under your belt. So. Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you're having a good week. I'm hoping that your 3 days off is nice and easy for you. And again, just excited to be hanging out and knocking out episodes. And this week is my week, and it's a little bit of a recap. I'll talk about it a little bit more here in just a moment. But what do you say? Should we quit the Gabby Gabby, get to the Stabby Stabby, jump on into it?
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it. For this week's Short on Time case, we're revisiting a case I actually covered back in June. Now, Olivia, you couldn't join me for this particular episode, so I wanted to give a quick recap. And as a warning, it's a hard one to get through. On May 30th of this year, Whitney Decker was home with her 3 daughters. 9-year-old Peyton, 8-year-old Evelyn, and 5-year-old Olivia. They were waiting for their father, Travis Decker, to pick them up from their Wenatchee Valley, Washington home. Travis was picking up the 3 girls for his planned visitation. He and Whitney had divorced, and Travis was apparently struggling with some mental health issues. He was a veteran and had been diagnosed with borderline personality disorder, and according to Whitney, he wasn't taking his medication. At the time, he was living out of his GMC truck or staying in hotels. Under the couple's parenting plan, Decker was supposed to seek treatment for both the mental health issues and anger management, but he hadn't been following the agreement. Travis Decker arrived to pick up his daughters on the 30th. He and Whitney spoke for about 15 to 20 minutes before he left with the kids, telling Whitney that he would see her again at 8 p.m. But little did she know that this would be the last time she would see her 3 daughters alive. When Travis failed to bring the girls home by 8, Whitney called him repeatedly, with the calls going straight to voicemail. This had never happened before, and it seemed out of character for Travis. So Whitney called the police, filing a civil complaint and reporting Peyton, Evelyn, and Olivia missing. The following morning, Travis and the three girls failed to show up to a planned 5K event. And on May 31st, the authorities officially announced that the children were missing. Now, because of Travis's living situation, authorities focused on many campgrounds in the area. And on June 2nd, police made a truly heartbreaking discovery. At approximately 3 p.m., officers discovered Travis Decker's unoccupied truck at a campsite near Rock Island Campground in Chelan County, Washington. Authorities found zip ties and plastic bags thrown around the scene, and two bloody handprints were found on the side of his truck. While searching the area, investigators discovered the bodies of Peyton, Evelyn, and Olivia. It would later be determined that the young girls had been suffocated to death. Travis Decker was immediately charged with 3 counts of first-degree murder and first-degree kidnapping, and a massive manhunt was underway. Authorities learned that due to his military service, Decker was a skilled outdoorsman and survivalist. The terrain in the area is densely covered in woods and forest, and with Decker's experience, he would definitely have the upper hand. Police investigated every lead, including a debunked sighting of Decker in Idaho, but there was still no sign of him. The search went on for months, eventually scaling back as tips and leads began to slow. But on September 18, 2025, there was a break in the case. Detectives were using a drone to conduct a planned search of a wooded area in Chelan County, and as it flew over the area, an anomaly was spotted. Now, due to the terrain that it was spotted in, investigators would have to rappel from a helicopter to get down to the ground. Once there, they discovered human remains, believed to be those of Travis Decker. The remains appeared to have been there for a while, spaced out, indicating that animals may have gotten to them before they were discovered. Additionally, investigators found chewing tobacco, Army Ranger shorts, and a bracelet, all believed to belong to Travis Decker. Dive teams also found a key fob in a nearby river that they suspect was Decker's as well. Now, the remains have been sent for testing to confirm that they are in fact those of Travis Decker. But at this point, it looks like this nightmare of a case may be resolved, or at least in part, as the question of why the lives of Peyton, Evelyn, and Olivia ended at the hands of their father will always remain. So, Olivia, that's this week's case. What are you thinking? Where's your head at?
Well, you know, I'm glad you did the recap, but because if I'm being honest, I've never really opened any of the articles to read about this actual story or actually heard the whole story all the way through. I mean, I knew there was a father of 3 and the girls went missing and, you know, there was some talk of mental illness within the whole case. But so it was nice to kind of have that recap. So thank you for that and to give all the details.
Oh, you're welcome. I'll be honest, the first time I went through it, this time was a little bit easier to talk about it because I knew what to expect and I hadn't really dug into it. But that first time, man, was hard. Like,
yeah, I can't imagine you doing a case with 3 missing daughters.
Yeah. And I was choking up, especially, you know, I mean, we'll talk about it a little bit at the end, but like just as a dad myself, I was like, I don't understand how something like this could happen, but, I'll hold it back until it gets there. But, you know, as we went through it, what were you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, they're pretty certain that these are his remains, correct?
That's what it sounds like. Like a lot of the clothing that they found in the area matches what he was last seen wearing. So, you know, I wanted to give the update. I will definitely make sure that I am following up on it as well, just to kind of be able to put a button on everything. But from right now, they are, you know, very, very confident that these are his remains.
You know, I wish they would have found like a suicide letter. You know, I don't know that he killed himself necessarily, probably so, but we won't know why if this is him. Like if these are his remains, we're going to have the answers that we want to know. Like why, how can you do this to your 3 children and their mother and the rest of your family? And like what did these innocent little girls have to do with your problems?
Yeah. And I mean, it definitely sounds like there was some issues with mental illness. In one of the articles I was researching, it said, you know, he may have been suffering from PTSD. There was definitely the borderline personality disorder. You know, I can just tell you, if I were to, I know for myself, if I was going through any kind of mental illness struggle or anything like that and did anything to hurt my child, it would not surprise me if this was suicide, because in a moment of clarity, once I realized what I had done, I wouldn't be able to live with myself. You know what I mean? Like, these are your whole world. And by all accounts, like, up until this happened, there was never any worry about him being with the kids. Like, everyone was like, he was a great dad. Like, you know, him and his wife had problems, but there was never any kind of worry. Because if there was, there wouldn't be any custody agreement where it's like, you just go with your dad and everything's fine. You know what I mean?
Right. So, you know, if there's a worry, you have, like, what's it called? Surveillance.
You have the supervised visitation.
Supervised visitation, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I have friends who have gone through that where it was like, you know, you had to be with somebody who's kind of monitoring what's going on. But it's just, you know, seems like whatever he was going through just kind of got worse. And in some of the research, when he was there to pick up the girls, he was talking to Whitney, his ex-wife, about, you know, being upset because he was having to give away his dog because he didn't have a steady place to live and was kind of bouncing around. Seems like he had kind of fallen into kind of like a drifter's kind of lifestyle where it was like, oh, I'll stay at a hotel if I can, or I'm living in a campground or in my truck. Or
right.
So there was obviously something going on with him. But this is just one of those stories where it's just, you know, it's heartbreaking because somebody was going through some kind of mental illness or having some kind of breakdown. These three innocent little girls just, they lost their lives. And, you know, we've talked about it before. It's Chris, what was the dude from Colorado? You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, I can't think of his last name.
I'm blanking on his last name, but he's the one who killed his wife and kids because he was having an affair. But, you know, just thinking about what must have been going through those kids' head, because they're just with their dad. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, the person that they can trust.
Yeah, the person that keeps me safe. You know, yeah.
It's my dad.
Yeah. You know? And then to know that the last few minutes of your life are experiencing that is so sad. It just, it breaks my heart.
I can only hope it was quick and painless.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, man. It's hard. So, but I mean, if we're talking deadbolt test, where does something like this fall for you? You know, where would you put this?
I mean, for this is a 9 for me. Your father, someone you're supposed to trust, someone you love, someone that cares about you, somebody that helped bring you into this world. You are half genetically them, and or not, or you have a stepdad. You know, I have two. I have two dads. It's great. So these people are supposed to protect you and just be on your team. And you don't expect getting picked up by your dad and spending your time with him that he's going to murder you. You know, and just these little girls are so young. It's just sad. The whole thing's just sad.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I mean, for me, this is a 10 all the way across the board. Not, you know, obviously not because I'm worried about anything like this happening to me, but it is just such a heartbreaking story. You know, these little girls had their whole lives ahead of them. And like I said, you know, this has to be something that was just terrifying because of the fact that doesn't seem like there was any reason for them to be afraid of their dad at all. And then to have your life end that way. And then thinking about Whitney, you know what I mean? Like, I know for me, the one thing that I should have hugged him longer. You know what I mean? I shouldn't have let him go. You know what I mean? Like, I know that I would have that survivor's guilt where I would just be replaying things in my head and like thinking about all the things like you quote unquote should have done. And I can't imagine, you know, how you even begin to process something like this or work through something. So, and then, you know, thinking about grandparents and, you know, even with Travis's
teachers,
parents, you know,
like, you know, a lot of people's lives were affected when these little girls didn't come back.
Yeah. I mean, this definitely shook the entire community. Speaking of that, you know, like I said, this episode came out, the original episode came out in June, and going through some of the Spotify comments, we actually got a Spotify comment from somebody who lives in that area. So I don't know if you want to read that comment, but I think it kind of sums up some of the energy that in the feeling there.
Yeah, this comment came from Kaylin G. And they said, "We're here in the Pacific Northwest, and this is big news here. John, we are proud of you for powering through this story. We feel the same here. We've adopted our grandkids, the youngest being 5, and I'm more scared than ever, the world being what it is today."
I mean, I could not agree more. It's really funny that we're actually like talking about this case this week because, you know, and I've probably talked about it on the podcast before, but Kara and I go to couples therapy as like a just routine maintenance kind of, you know, work things out or talk about stuff. And, you know, today in therapy, one of the things that we were talking about was like my fear of what the world's going to look like as my child grows up, you know, especially with, you know, some of the mass shootings that have happened recently and the internet culture around it and stuff like that. And, you know, just wanting like my child to grow up in a safe environment and like to grow up to be a good person, you know, and knowing how to treat people and to see others as human as opposed to like, it feels like we're very disconnected in a lot of different ways. And then, you know, we come in and we do this case and then we get that Spotify comment, you know, it's like, it feels a little rough, the world that we're living in right now. You know what I mean?
And the world we live in is very rough right now. And kudos to you and Kara for raising a child right now.
It's scary, man. In this day and age,
I just don't know that I could do it.
It's scary. I told you they put metal detectors in her school, right?
She's 6.
Yeah. Yeah, but the school that she goes to, they do like, I don't want to get too specific, but there's a lot of grades. And So they, you know, last year was you dropped her off and she walked in, she was all smiling. And then this year you drop her off and she stands in line and goes through a metal detector. And I remember the first day I dropped her off, I was just like, oh man, like that sucks.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it sucks, you know? And again, I think, you know, to tie it back to the story, right? It's like we live in a world where there's so many other things that you have to worry about when you have kids, that the father should not be one of them, you know? And sadly,
that's... No parent should be.
Yeah. And sadly, you know, whether it's domestic violence or, you know, a case of this magnitude, it's, you know, there's kids out there who have to worry about it. And it's just, like I said, it's heartbreaking. So, you know, I know you're probably there with me, but wishing absolutely the best we can for the family and hope that you have the tools that you need to process your loss, because it's a terrible loss. So again, it's hard, man. Even thinking about now, I'm getting a little choked up. So it's just, it just sucks all the way around. Well, that is where we fall in the deadbolt test for this week's case. Olivia is coming in at a 9. I am coming in at a 10. But as always, we want to hear from you, the listeners, the locksmiths. Where do the deaths of Peyton, Evelyn, and Olivia Decker fall on your deadbolt test? You can let us know. Reach out to us on Instagram, Check the Locks Pod. You can find us on Twitter, Check the Locks. If you're not in our Facebook group, what are you doing? Come hang out with us. We would love to get the opportunity to spend a little time with you, get to know you. And kind of like what we were talking about, this world is so crazy right now. Anything that is a sense of like positivity and brightness is something you want to hold on to, and that is definitely what we have with the Facebook group. So if you'd like to be a part of that energy, you know, definitely come and hang out with us. We would love to have you. And I find myself doing this a lot, I think, in these kind of episodes. Normally this is the part where we talk about the Patreon, but you guys know, I mean, Olivia, we're coming up on 300 episodes. This is episode 298 between full That's episodes and so short on times. Yeah, so we're just shy of 300 episodes. So you know about the Patreon. What I would encourage you to do is, you know, if you have kids, if you have nieces, nephews, if just anybody in your life, like, give them a hug. Tell them that you love them. You know, spend a little extra time with them in the morning. Just, I don't know, do something to go out of your way to let somebody know you care when you do, because, again, nothing in this world is promised, and this is a crazy world that we live in. So just, you know, make sure you take the time to let the people you love, let them know that you love them. So if you want to donate to the Patreon, you know how to do it, but I think that's a little bit more important. And also, Olivia, I love you, buddy. I'm glad that I have you
love
in my
you
life.
Love you too, Johnny boy.
So that is all that we have for this week's case. Please make sure that you're subscribed to Check the Locks on your favorite podcast app so that you never miss an episode. We will see you next week with another truly terrifying bite-sized true crime case. But until then, don't forget to
check the locks.
See you next week.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.